Welcome to the Money Rules Podcast, where we tackle your personal financial matters with leading financial advisors. Your host, Boitumelo Ntsoko.
It's Valentine's Day, and before you ask your partner at dinner tonight to take your relationship to the next level and move in together, have you thought about the financial implications of that? And do you know that a cohabitation agreement might just be what you need to avoid future heartbreak? Of the financial kind, of course. If you're unsure about what a cohabitation agreement is or how it works, stay tuned. Eric Jordan, an attorney and a certified financial planner at Crew Invest, joins us on this episode to guide us through this. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you, Tumi. Yeah, thanks again for the opportunity.
Eric, let's start with the basics. What exactly is a cohabitation agreement, and why should couples consider drafting one before moving in together?
Yes, a cohabitation agreement is nothing more than a legal contract or agreement between two people. And the intention of that agreement is really just to have a legal framework around what the financial implications would be for the parties once they moved in together, how the arrangements will happen in terms of the financial implications on each one of those parties and what they will bring to their relationship.
And if a couple is considering drafting this agreement, what key elements should they include in it?
So when looking at a cohabitation agreement, it's important to consider aspects specifically around the house or immovable property, is also known as things like who will own and how that property will be maintained, etc. Then also things like your movable property, so the goods that you bring into the house, how do you arrange that in terms of when new items are bought, and whose name will that be bought, etc. And then also in terms of when the relationship comes to an end, how will that be dealt with? How will it be divided, etc.? Also, I think something to consider, if there are children that's born from the relationship, how will that be dealt with potentially after the relationship have come to an end? And then also general financial responsibilities while you're living together, who's responsible for which expenses, etc. So it's really just to get some certainty around all of those various aspects.
Now, for couples wanting to buy a house together, what should they be particularly mindful of?
Ownership of the house, in terms of whose name the house will be registered, is actually a very important aspect, because in our law, in whose name the house is registered at the deeds office, is the person who has legal ownership of the house. So it's very important that when that step is taken, that both parties agree how they will arrange ownership of the house, how they will deal with the house when the relationship comes to an end, in terms of ownership, and then also who will, in terms of the contributions towards the house, who will be paying for the bond, etc. If there is a bond, the maintenance of the house, etc. So all of those aspects needs to be clearly thought through and then documented in something like a cohabitation agreement.
And what about the day-to-day financial management? How should couples address shared expenses in their agreement?
Yes, again, it's very important to understand, first of all, how the relationship will work. So will one of the partners be the breadwinner in the traditional sense of the word? Will one be the homekeeper? And those are aspects that need to consider when deciding who is responsible and who contributes what to the daily running of the house and in what way. So either if it's financial or if it is by way of the time that you actually spend in upkeep of the joint household.
Many couples also have pets together. Should that be included in the agreement as well?
Yes, it actually is quite an important aspect, because we all love our pets. They become almost like children in a house. So it's very important to actually give some thought to that, and especially financial aspects like vets, bills, etc., pet insurance, specifically those can become quite a costly aspect, and especially when the relationship ends, and how do you deal with the pets, who takes responsibility for the pets. Again, those are things that can be arranged in this agreement.
Eric, can you walk us through the process of drafting a cohabitation agreement? Is it done with a lawyer? What's the cost and how legally binding is it?
My recommendation is definitely you should involve a lawyer, and specifically a lawyer who has some experience in this field, because it is quite a niche field. Regarding cost, it's very difficult to give an estimate, because that will depend on the complexity of your specific situation and as well as the lawyer that you use, the seniority, etc. So I don't want to give you a specific idea in terms of what the cost involved of it would be. But from a legally binding perspective, yes, it's like any agreement that you enter into, that two parties enter into. And specifically, that is an agreement that is enforceable between those two parties that signs the agreement. So very much, yes, it is enforceable.
And what happens if a couple doesn't have a cohabitation agreement in place and decides to separate?
So it actually leaves specifically the party who's not financially strong in a very vulnerable position, because there is no automatic maintenance claim, as an example, towards people who are married. That's not something that's applicable to people in a cohabitation arrangement. Claim is an example towards a party's pension fund. That will also not be possible, as the Divorce Act and Pension Funds Act actually regulates that, and you need to be legally married to have a claim. So it can leave parties quite financially vulnerable if there is no cohabitation agreement in place.
So what advice would you give to a couple who is planning on moving in together?
First of all, I think it's very important to get advice both from a financial aspect as well as a legal aspect, to understand exactly what each party's rights, obligations, etc. will be from this relationship. And also then how to protect yourself should this relationship not work out and you need to separate. And how do you put some legal framework around what those implications would be, so both parties have certainty when they enter into this cohabitation agreement.
Eric, just lastly, if a couple is already living together but doesn't have a cohabitation agreement, is it too late to create one?
No, so luckily, because it's an agreement between two parties, it can be put in place at any point in time. So as long as there's agreement between the two parties, you can put those arrangements in place. And it's also advisable that as your situation changes through the years and there are circumstances that change, that you update that agreement to reflect what your current position is in the relationship.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode, Eric.
It's a big pleasure.
That was Eric Jordan, an attorney and certified financial planner at Crewe Invest.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Money Rules Podcast. To listen to more, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.